The UN Security Council has voted in favor of a US resolution backing Donald Trump's Gaza peace plan and the deployment of an international stabilization force. The resolution's text also says that conditions may finally be in place for a credible pathway to Palestinian self-determination and statehood. President Trump says it will lead to further peace all over the world. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has welcomed the result, saying the framework will lead to peace and prosperity because it insists upon full demilitarization. The Palestinian Authority praised the outcome, calling for its immediate implementation. Hamas, though, issued a statement rejecting the resolution, saying it imposes a mechanism intended to achieve the goals of the occupation. Joining me to unpack it all is UK Lawyers for Israel Charitable Trust Legal Director Natasha Hausdorff. Natasha, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure to be with you, David.
Natasha, what is your initial reaction?
I think the first thing to understand is what this UN Security Council resolution is. It's not a binding or legally enforceable resolution by the Security Council. The UN generally is not a lawmaking body, and only very select Security Council resolutions made under Chapter 7 have legal force. This is not one of those, but what it in fact does is codify, in a sense, the 20-point Trump plan, and record international backing for it. So it's probably worth reminding those watching of some of the elements of that 20-point plan. Importantly, number one, that Gaza will be a de-radicalized terror-free zone that does not pose a threat to its neighbors. And of course, there was the provision under point four that within 72 hours of Israel publicly accepting the agreement, all hostages alive and deceased will be returned. So it's important to remember that that provision has not been complied with. There are still three hostages being kept in the Gaza Strip, bodies that Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist groups have yet to return. Nonetheless, the global scope of this 20-point plan has been endorsed by the international community. And in that sense, this political backing for Trump's practical approach, and many people would say, pro-Israel approach to securing a ceasefire and then what is intended to be a peaceful resolution to this, is clear. Plainly, elements of this that are intended to bring the Arab world and key partners, and in addition to that, the likes of Turkey and Qatar on board with this plan. But there are still many questions that are not answered either by the 20-point plan or by this resolution. Importantly, how Hamas is going to be disarmed and dismantled. And there are a number of options on the table. The framework that this resolution sets out essentially gives an endorsement to that. And in this respect, as you have already pointed out, Hamas has rejected this. Given that this resolution ultimately replicates and endorses the 20-point plan, and in fact includes the 20-point plan as an annex to the resolution itself, it may be surprising that Hamas, which originally signed on to that plan, has come out so vehemently against this resolution. But then we have to remember that it is an internationally proscribed terrorist organization, and it unfortunately cannot be held to its word. So what it agreed to under the 20-point plan, it is plainly objecting to here when it calls out this resolution as not meeting the demands and rights of the Palestinian people or the residents in Gaza. In particular, it makes the demand not to interfere with the weapons of what it calls the resistance, claiming that this is an internal matter. That is, of course, at odds with the need to demilitarize the Gaza Strip and dismantle Hamas. And so that may very well be a sticking point. Well, is likely to be a sticking point in the future.
Natasha, what is the significance of the reference to Palestinian statehood?
Well, I think the significance in this Security Council resolution is that it plainly demonstrates a state of Palestine does not exist. And that must necessarily be embarrassing to the likes of the UK, France, Canada, and many others who have purported to recognise a so-called state of Palestine. The wording that the resolution incorporates at paragraph two is of particular note here. It says, after the PA reform programme is faithfully carried out and Gaza redevelopment has advanced, the conditions may finally be in place for a credible pathway to Palestinian self-determination and statehood. That is as high as the resolution puts it, which is, of course, is nowhere near what we've had some other political statements purporting to be representations of international law coming out of UN bodies, coming out even of the International Court of Justice in its now perhaps infamous advisory opinion. But this qualifies this pathway to statehood that may finally be in place once those conditions for that credible pathway are realised. A big part of that is this reform programme for the so-called moderates in this equation, the Palestine Authority, which also indoctrinates to terrorism and incentivises terrorism. And that is a really tall order in light of the lack of enthusiasm that the Palestine Authority, still led by Mahmoud Abbas, have shown to engage in any credible reform. So I think it needs to be seen very much within that framework. I know there's been a lot said that there's an indication now that statehood has been endorsed by the Security Council. Far from it. And actually, when one considers the position that Israel has taken and that is apparently, polling tells us, shared by the majority of Israeli voters, that especially after the 7th of October, the prospect of Palestinian statehood is really something that is not seen as a credible option at all, in light of the fact that it is seen as creating simply another terror state. That this resolution reflects, I think, that lack of credibility in putting it in these terms. But what it importantly does is highlight, what the existing position in international law is. That the Palestinians do not have a state. They do not meet the criteria for statehood, famously under the Montevideo Conventions. And the notion that there may well be, may one day be a state in the future, is caveated very strongly, by these conditions. And I think this reflects the realization, or the recognition, which is also, in the resolution, that Gaza, in its current form, threatens the security of neighboring states. This is something that we haven't seen, in fact, clearly recognized in international discourse, in the discussions about the prospects for the future of the Gaza Strip, a recognition that this is a situation which necessarily has to change. Threatening the security of neighboring states is very problematic under a framework of international law which strives for peace, stability, and security. And so those two parts of the resolution, to my mind, go very firmly hand in hand. A recognition of the practical problems of the current situation and a pathway to seeking a resolution to that. And I think it's also important to reference the significance with which economic reform is handled in this resolution. And that has to be seen, I think, in conjunction with the importance that the resolution places on the implementation of transitional governance administration, supervising and supporting a Palestinian technocratic apolitical committee of competent Palestinians from the Strip, championed by the Arab League, which would be responsible for the day-to-day operations of Gaza's civil service and administration. In that case, very much moving away from Hamas, and also in that instance, the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood, the influence of Qatar and Turkey. It also speaks, of course, to the reconstruction of Gaza and the economic recovery programs and the focus on economic recovery, economic incentives, and that plan, of course, pulls very heavily from the driving force behind the 20-point plan. And that marks a very different approach within this Security Council resolution. We're not seeing a demand that Israel withdraw from territory and leave a vacuum there for terrorists to be able to seize power in. In fact, we're seeing a structured approach and one which, we'll have to wait and see to what extent it materializes. But in the context of the backing and the blessing from the international community within this Security Council resolution, that does strike me as a marked change from that previous trajectory.
And finally, Natasha, you touched on it earlier, but Hamas has rejected all of this. What do you make of that?
Well, that's always a very good barometer. To the extent that Hamas is celebrating and welcoming decisions like the UK's decision to recognise a Palestinian state that doesn't exist, that's plainly indicative of a decision that assists, that motivates, that encourages and incentivises the internationally proscribed terrorist organisation Hamas. Albeit that there is this disconnect, and it's slightly incongruous that Hamas would have signed up to the 20-point plan and come out so vehemently against a resolution that ultimately simply replicates it. It is very telling that Hamas have indicated fierce opposition to this. That must be a positive indication, both for the Palestinian people, the Palestinian Arabs in Gaza, for the Israelis, and also one would hope for the region more broadly.